Okay, good morning, everyone. We begin our discussion of Malachim Aleph today. Why we chose Malachim Aleph is a very calculated decision. I looked on my shelf. I said, haven't learned Malachim Aleph in a few years. The truth is, we couldn't have picked a better day. And that is because what we're going to discuss today is actually perfectly apropos and appropriate for Election Day. And I'm sure as our previous illustrious speaker mentioned, vote early, vote often. And we should celebrate our democratic... Right, exactly, coronating a king or queen and the dangers therein. Okay, so let's jump right in. Essentially, what we are beginning with is the conclusion or the culminating chapters of David HaMelech's life, and more importantly, the transition between David HaMelech to his son, Shlomo HaMelech. Now, we'll see in chapter 1, and my goal is... I calculated the number of weeks we actually meet during the year, and it comes out to about 25, 26 weeks. So I would love to finish all of Malachim Aleph this year as a group, and then next year we'll do Malachim Bed, and then who knows? Who knows what will happen after that? But my goal is to do complete a chapter a week, again, depending on the chapter. So let's jump right in. David HaMelech, the Pasuk tells us, is very old. And obviously, when you have an older king, so the issue of transition is going to be important. Now, again, as I said, it's very apropos to what's going on today. And, disputed elections, not disputed elections, are we going to hold the election results, all that conversation. So all of that sort of serves as the meta-narrative to what is taking place in our first chapter of Sefer Malachim. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read the Hebrew Pesukim. I'm going to translate. You have a copy of the Hebrew and English in front of you. The Meforshim that I read in Hebrew, I will read, I'll translate. If you want to bring in your own Mikros Gedolos, you're obviously welcome to do so, but you shouldn't feel the need to. In other words, Hebrew should not be an impediment to anyone participating and enjoying our class this morning. V'amelech David zakein babi yamin v'yichasuhu babgadim v'lo yichamlo. Again, one of the more perplexing scenes in Tanakh. David HaMelech, we're told, is very old. And they try covering him up, and nothing works, right? It's one of those bone-chilling, right? Anyone remember from the Northeast, or those that came down recently, so you'll remember this. So that, like, bone-chilling, right? It's bone-chilling in here with the air conditioning. I don't know. I just checked. It's set pretty high, so it shouldn't be going on too much. But, right, so this is to make us feel the psukim that we're learning. So David HaMelech is very cold and nothing's working. He's layering up. He's using the shawls that are in the lobby. Nothing is keeping him warm. So Vayomru lo avadav. So his servants say to him, Yivakshu la Adoni HaMelech na'ara besula. Let's find a virgin girl, Ve'amda lifnei HaMelech, Usehi lo sochenes, and she will keep him warm. V'shachva b'chekecha v'cham la Adoni HaMelech, and she's going to keep him warm. So two questions right off the bat. Obviously, the scene is very strange, but there's something to keep in mind. Who are the avadav? Who are these servants now? We're not really told who they are and why they came up with this idea. But nonetheless, you clearly get the impression, and you clearly have an image of a very frail David HaMelech. Vayivakshu na'ara yafa b'chol gvul Yisrael. Right, similar, you're already thinking of Achashverosh a little bit, that there's this call out for a beautiful, or a yafa, we're going to translate as beautiful, but a beautiful girl, vayimtzu es Avishaga Shunamit vayaviu osa lamelech, and they find a girl by the name of Avishaga Shunamit, and they bring her to the king. Vehanara yafa admod, this girl was very beautiful, vatihi lamelech sochenet, and she again serves to keep the king warm. Vatisharsehu, and she serves him, right? She's also an aide to him. V'hamelech lo yida'a, and the king does not know her. Again, which in biblical terms means that they didn't have, they weren't intimate with one another, that her role was merely a logistical role. In other words, David HaMelech needed to be kept warm. She had the ability to keep him warm, and it was simply a matter of practicality. So let's stop right there for a second. Why is David HaMelech so cold? So we assume that he's cold because he's king or because he's sitting in the Rand Sanctuary at the Boca Raton Synagogue, where for some reason the air conditioning is blasting. right? But Rashi points out something else. Rashi says, "Velo yicham lo, amar Rabbeinu kol mevaze begadim eino ne mehem lesof." Lefishakara es knaf hamiel leshaul. For those who remember the scene where David HaMelech had the opportunity to kill, well, he wasn't David HaMelech, David had the opportunity to kill Shaul, instead he rips his garments. And so, the Rashi tells us, quoting the Gemara, that anyone who is mevaza, anyone who desecrates clothes, so clothes will no longer be there to protect you. You're not going to benefit from clothes. And so the clothes that they were wrapping David HaMelech in weren't serving their need. The other Rashi, the Medrash, Rashi quotes, Amar of Shmuel bar Nachmani, Kishara David as Malach Omid b'Yerushalayim, v'charvo b'yada, when David takes in an appropriate census of the Jewish people, and there is a Malach HaMaves is coming to Yerushalayim, so at that moment, Nitzdanin Damo, right? You know, they say the blood rushes from your, right? You get out of fear. So David HaMelech, out of fear, the blood rushed from his, I guess, hands or body, and that's what caused him to be cold. Either interpretation, whether you hold of the Gemara or the Medrash that Rashi is quoting, one thing is crystal clear. According to at least Chazal, David HaMelech isn't cold here simply because of old age. David HaMelech is cold here because of something that he did wrong, some inappropriate action, some sin. And if that's the case, so immediately in the back of your head, you should be wondering, why start off, right? The swan song of David HaMelech's life, so to speak, begins with sin, with a reference, with remembering, with recapturing some of the sinful moments of his life. And so again, we're going to have to try to figure that out. Go back now to Pasuk Hey. What? So good. So why would a young lady? So again, we'll finish the parak and then we'll put it all together. But yes, even if you assume it's old age, the young lady is bizarre, right? No matter how you cut it, the image of David HaMelech with Avishag should strike you as a little bit awkward. And there are many parts to that. Number one is why Avishag? Number two is why so much mention about her, right? It tells us details that seemingly unnecessary about her. That she's beautiful, that they weren't intimate with one another. Couldn't they have found a different way to have warmed up David? Right, that you would assume that would be the last resort. And it kind of skips a couple steps. It's like, yeah, we tried the parka, but when the parka didn't work out, so we went to the 23-year-old girl. Right? It seems like there was a few steps missing. Why did there need to be a nationwide search? Right, they couldn't have found in a more, right? It almost is degrading to David HaMelech that they had to project to the entire country that David HaMelech is seemingly infirm, that he's sick, and that there needs to be someone who's going to come help him. Wouldn't you do it, right? Again, we're talking about the health of our candidates, right? If they had to bring in a doctor to deal with the health of a president, so again, you'd think they would do it in such a secretive way. That they would try to do it in a way that the entire country wouldn't be aware of the fact that this person was sick. And yet here in the opening chapter, in the opening psukim of Malachim Aleph, they're publicizing. Hey, by the way, you should know your president isn't as healthy as you think he is. So again, there's so many aspects of this which are seemingly very contemporary, but also should strike you as a little bit awkward. Yeah, Gigi. So maybe they want to show that he's human. So I think there's an element of correctness to what you were saying. But the million-dollar question is going to be, who is the they? Right? In other words, remember I pointed out the word avadav. That the avadav are scheming to do all of this. Who are the avadav? And what are their motivations here? Are there motivations for David? Are there motivations to show that he's human? Showing someone's human could be a good thing or a bad thing. Right, if you recall, let's think back to the other stories that we know in Tanakh. Let's think to the story of Paro. So Paro, if you recall, the Medrash tells us, where did Paro go to the bathroom? In the Nile. Why did Paro go to the bathroom in the Nile? Because in Egyptian society, they believed that their gods didn't have to go to the bathroom. So Paro didn't want to ruin the surprise for everyone. So he went to the bathroom in the Nile so that people would think that he was some form of a deity. Right? So maybe
it was a political.
So clearly that, right. As we continue on, there's some political jockeying that's taking place right now. And we'll see that this first four psukim are not mutually exclusive. In other words, they're not separate from what's going to happen in the rest of the parak. It very much fits in and is really painting an image that's going to lay the groundwork for what happens shortly hereafter. Yeah. So, correct, right? Perhaps that a king who's ready for a young woman could be a sign of strength. You know, without getting too graphic, but modern technology has enhanced that imagery a little bit in modern medicine, right? Back then, when you were old, you were old. And, you know, there were certain limitations. But I would argue it's the opposite. Yeah. Right, so Avadav clearly is a loaded word. And again, Avadav, think about this again. Think about a parallel story, which is Achashverosh. So are Achashverosh's servants loyal or disloyal? How does the entire story of Esther start out? What is Achashverosh? How would you characterize Achashverosh? One word. It's paranoid. Right? Everything that he does is out of paranoia. So Avadav here, don't forget, we envision this, you know, utopian, right? There are kings and he had loyal servants. More often than not, right? I think we talked about Shakespeare over Sukkot. The servants in Shakespeare's stories are often not loyal. More often they are not. They are not loyal, right? So etu brute, right? In other words, servants don't automatically mean that now we're looking out for the king's best interest, okay? So let's read a little bit on. But keep all of that, everything we just mentioned, keep that in the back of your mind because it's going to be very important as we continue on in this chapter. Because immediately in Pasuk 5, in the fifth verse, almost out of the blue, but you'll see it's not out of the blue. V'Adoniah ben Chagit, mitnaseh lemor, ani emloch, Adoniah, who's one of David's children, so he all of a sudden pops out of nowhere and says, ani emloch, I am going to be the king. Vayas lo rechev uprashim vechamishim ish ratzim lefanav, and immediately to project an image of strength. So he has a chariot and he has people running in front, whole entourage running in front of him. Again, all to project an image of strength. Velo atzavo aviv miyamav lemor madua kacha sita. Velo atzavo, atzav means literally what? How would you translate that in Hebrew? How would you translate that in English? Well, atzav usually means sad, right? That's not what it's talking about. It means to give him mussar. He didn't chastise him. Now, why use the word sad? Because when a parent chastises a son, it makes him sad. But for whatever reason, David HaMelech didn't want to spoil it for Adoniyahu, right? The Radak says, Vlohi chisuhu. He didn't anger him. Kashaya osa shum davara veloya machlimo umiyasro lemor madua kachasita. He never disciplined him. Lefichach yatza laderech ra velimrod baviv. Right, he didn't discipline his son, and for that reason, he rebelled. He wasn't such a good kid. Right, miyamav lemor madua kachasita vegamhu tov toar meod veoso yaldach areav shalom. Right, there were three reasons why Adoniyahu has the gumption to assume the kingship. Number one is, he was obviously somewhat rebellious. Right? His father never chastised him, he had a little bit of rebelliousness. Number two, the Pasuk tells us he's very good looking. In other words, he had the look, right, as we talked about. Everything comes back to the elections today. Right? Does the president have the look? So did Adoniyahu have the look? And lastly, V'oso yalda achareyav shalom. Shlomo was what number child? Shlomo was the youngest, right? Shlomo was the fourth. The Radak tells us already, right, that you had Avshalom, you had Amnon, You have Adoniyahu, you have Daniel, which is given a different name, not our Daniel, right? So he has a bunch of different children. So really, if you're going in chronological order of children, it shouldn't be Shlomo, it should be Adoniyahu. So Adoniyahu assumed that Avshalom is no longer around, Amnon's no longer around, right? So it should be up to him. V'yudvarav im Yoav ben Tsruya v'im Aviatar HaKohen. So he starts plotting. V'yazru acharei Adoniyahu, and they decide that they're going to be in Adoniyahu's camp. Pasuk Ches. V'tzadak HaKohen uv'nayahu ben Yehoyada v'nasa nanavi v'shim v'vireyu v'agiborim asher l'David lo haya im Adoniyahu. So we have a line in the sand. We have those that are in the camp of Adoniyahu. And then we have those who are in the camp of David. Vayizbach Adoniyahu tzon v'akar meri im even azochelet asher etzel ein rogel. Vayikra es kol achav b'nei ha-melech u'lechol anshei Yudav de ha-melech. So what does Adoniyahu do? He makes a big party. Right? He makes a big party. He sacrifices animals. The Malbim writes, u'mitam ze ba'atzmo shera sheyesh misnagdim lo u'machazikim yedei Shlomo ratz lekasher es o'avav. Right? In other words, the Malbim saying, what does this have to do with the end of the last pasuk? Last pasuk told us that there were people that were still loyal to David. And then the very next pasuk, it tells us in Adoniyahu makes this big party. What does one have to do with the other? The answer is that once he saw that there were people that weren't coming along with him, he said, wow, I better solidify my base. So he throws a big party to make people who like him really like him, essentially. Okay? Pasuk Yud, ves nasan anavi ubnayahu ves hagiborim ves shlomo achiv lo kara. He's very smart, Adoniyahu. He realizes he's never going to convince those who don't like him. So instead of trying to convince the other side's supporters, he says, let me solidify my base. And so he doesn't even invite them to the party. Because what are they going to do if they come to the party? They're going to wear their, they're going to wear their Trump shirts, or they're going to wear their Hillary shirts. He doesn't want them there. So he says, better not to invite them at all. They're going to be rabble rousers. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I don't know why. Good question, though. Pasuk Yidav, Vayomer Nasan El Bat Sheva, Eim Shlomo Lemor. So now, Natan Anavi and Bat Sheva are going to start plotting. They say, Halo Shamat Ki Malach Adoniyahu Ben Chagit V'Adoneinu David Lo Yada. He says to Bat Sheva, by the way, did you hear that Adoniyahu began... claimed the throne for himself, and David has no clue what's going on. So let's plot. And in the process, we'll save your soul and the soul of Shlomo Melech. What are you saving them from? So again, different commentaries articulate a little bit differently. Either you're saving because if Adoniyahu becomes king, what's he going to do? First order of business. Kill anyone who is against him. So he's going to kill Batsheva, he's going to kill Shlomo. The other, Rashi writes beautifully, Umaltias nafsheich, mina machlokes la'acher mos hamelech. Right, what's Natsan Hanavi concerned about? That after David dies, there's going to be machlokes, there's going to be a dispute against who should be king. So Natan says, let's end this once and for all. Let's get David to announce who he thinks is going to be, who he wants to be the king. And so he tells Batsheva to do the following. Ve'ata l'chi yatzeichna, it's l'chi, pasuk yid gimel. Uvoya melech David, go to King David. Ve'amart elav halo ata adoni ha-melech nishbata la'masecha le'mor kishlomo b'neichim loch acharai, v'hu yoshev al kisi. Right? Say to David, didn't you promise me that my son Shlomo is going to be the king? Umadua malach Adoniyahu. And if that's the case, why is Adoniyahu now king? Vihine odach medabere sham im ha-melech. And Natan says, while you're talking to the king, ve'ani avo acharaich umileise es tvareich. I'm going to come in and fill the gaps. Right? In other words, they have this whole plan. How it's going to look, happenstance, but it's plotted out in advance. Vatavo bat sheva el ha-melech hachadra, ve'amelech zakein me'od. Again, why didn't he just tell us that David is very old? So again, obviously, there's a contrast here, right? Already you assume that David's old age, his infirm nature, is supposed to contrast with what's going on, right? A weak king with a plot outside of the palace. So again, Avishag is there, which again, picture the scene, right? The history we know about Sheva. So you come in the room and there's this beautiful 20-year-old girl with an old king. And Bathsheba, of course, comes in, and the scene is somewhat ironic. Vatiko Bathsheba v'shtachbu l'melech, v'yomer ha-melech malach. He says, what are you here for? Vatomer lo adoni ata nishbata baranai lohecha lamasecha ki shlomo b'nechi imloch acharai v'hu yoshev al kisi. Didn't you promise me that my son Shlomo is going to take over? Pasach yiched v'ata hinei adoni ha malach. And all of a sudden, Adonia is king. And you, David, you don't even know about it. Right? She's rehashing everything that's going on. Right? She's filling him up on the news. He's making this big party, and he didn't invite my son. The entire world is looking to you, David. What are you going to do? Are you going to accept the results? Or you're not going to accept the results. La'gid lahem mi yeshev al kisei Adoni ha-melech acharav. Everyone's waiting, David. They want you to tell them who is going to be your successor. Ve'ayach kishkav Adoni ha-melech im avosav ve'ayisi ani uveni Shlomo chata'im. And what's going to happen is that when you die, me and my son are going to be chata'im. What does that word mean, literally? Sinners. What does that mean, they're going to be sinners? What does it mean, they're going to be sinners? So Rashi writes, chaserim. In other words, we'll be lacking. Minoim minagdula. The greatness that was supposed to happen for us is not going to be. We're going to be lacking. Radak offers three interpretations. Number one is, migurashin minamalucha. That we're going to be thrown out. We're going to be kicked out of the throne. V'yesh meforshim, im lo yeh b'nei melech galoi avon, yeh lanu yomru kim b'nei avon, shenim tzabi uben, shenolad mimenu lo haisa lo amalucha. They're going to say, why didn't Shlomo merit the throne? Because of what? Because of the sin that I committed with you. Right? The mibnei chataim, it's because of our sin that Shlomo couldn't take the throne. V'yesh meforshim, and lastly, kineged David amra. Right? Ela shechanta mibnei kvodo klomor atate chote bazeh. Right? The sin is yours, David. That because you didn't properly line up a succession, shame on you, basically. Right? Yeah. Well, they would say the reason why Shlomo wasn't the successor is because of the sin.
But Adoniah should come first because he's older. So there shouldn't be an assumption on people's part that Shlomo would be the Melech.
Well, certainly for Bathsheba, that's going to be the assumption, right? In other words, certainly for her, in at least the way the Pesukim projected, whether or not this was actually ever said is a machlok in the Meforshim.
David promised her.
Right, they're going to say, why Adoniah? The people. You're going to say, they're just going to assume it's the older child.
Yeah.
Could be. All right, so you choose one of the other options. Okay. Well, Adoniah doesn't invite him because, right, you're not going to invite your enemy to your coronation, right? Whoever wins tonight, they'll call, but they ain't going to. The other candidate isn't going to be on the podium with them tonight, probably, unless Mashiach comes, right? Pasuk Chafet, v'hinei denu medaberes ima melech, v'nasana navi baz. And again, just as they planned, she's talking, Natan comes. V'yigidu l'melech l'mor, hinei Natan anavi.
right? They tell the king, Nasan came. Vayavo lifnei ha-melech, vayishtachu l'melech ala pavarza. He bows down. Vayomer Nasan Adoni ha-melech, ata amarta Adoniyahu yimloch acharai, v'hu yoshev al kisi. Did you really tell Adoni that Adoniyahu that he could be the king? Ki arad ayom v'yizbach shor ha-mari v'tzon l'rovi k'ra l'chol b'nei ha-melech ulesarei tzaval avyatar ha-kohen. Did you really do this? Because this is what's happening. Right? This is what's going on. And again, the contrast between almost like an out-of-touch king with what's going out is so striking here. Correct, right? Clearly, that's why I said the first four psukim of David being old is clearly the contrast to everything else that happens. It's a president that doesn't use Twitter, basically, right?
He lost control.
Correct, right? The advisors are scheming because David, you don't get the sense that he's large and in charge right now, although he is, but you don't get that sense. There's clearly that contrast. It's that vacuum that was created by David's infirm nature that allowed this entire chapter to take place. Well, that's what, again... Were the servants, did they see a vacuum and they plotted? So we got to figure that out. We're going to get to all that. Pasuk Chavav, V'li ani avadechol tzadok ha-kohen v'nayahu ben Yehoyado shlomo avadechol okara. We weren't invited. Imeis Adoni ha-melech niyad davar hazeh v'lo odates avadecha mi yeshev al-kisei Adoni ha-melech acharav. Right, if that's what you really wanted, don't you think it's a little strange, David, that you didn't tell any of us? Your faithful servants. Vayan ha-melech, vayomer kiru li le-bat sheva. He says, call over Bat Sheva. Now, the Mefarshim debate, she was already there, so maybe she was off in the corner, she had like retreated a little bit to allow Natan the space, but anyway, she's back in the picture. Vatavo lifnei ha-melech, vatamo lifnei ha-melech. So now you have Natan, you have Bat Sheva, and you have David. Vayishava ha-melech vayomer. Chai Adonai asher pada es nafshi mikol tzara. Ki kasher nishbati lecha lach. Ba'adonai Elohei Yisrael emor. Ki shlomo b'neich imloch acharai. V'hu yeshev al kisi tachtai. Ki kein ase hayom hazeh. David said exactly as I promised. Don't worry. That's what's going to happen. Vatikol bat sheva apayim arza vatishtachu lemelech vatomer yichi Adoni ha-melech David leolam. Bat sheva says, Baruch Hashem. Thank you, David. Now, this is the Haftorah for Parshas Chayisara, and the Haftorah ends here. But the parak goes on. So David reaffirms that Shlomo is going to be the king. Vayomer ha-melech David, kiruli le-tzadok ha-kohenu le-natan ha-navil le-vnayahu ben Yehoyada vayavo lifnei ha-melech. So all of the people that were against Adoniyahu, they now come. Vayomer ha-melech lam kichu imachem es avdei Adonaichem v'hir kavtem et Shlomo bini al ha-pirda shirli v'horadetem oso el gichon. Take Shlomo and put him on my mule. Right, who gets to ride on the king's mule? The king or the next king. So clearly this is a display of strength. Okay, ride him on my mule and go down to the gichon. Okay, again, as we know from Tashlich, oftentimes that's where kings were coronated. Interestingly, the Malbim writes, why Gichon? So he says, Shehu me hashiloach hahochim la'at. Apparently it was a very tranquil body of water. L'rameiz al hamshachat malchuso beheshket. Right? He wanted a calm body of water to show that this transition should be very peaceful. Should be very calm. I know that was a beautiful comment by the Malbim. Yeah. Yes. 13, yeah. This is all happening. Correct. Correct. It's not unreal. What? We just had the king of Thailand, right? How old was he when he became king? He was also... Okay? Okay. So we're on... Oh, I don't know when that stopped. So we're on Lamadal. Okay. Umashach oso sham tzadok ha-kohen menasana navila melech ha-yisrael uskatem b'shofar ve'amartem ichiyam Amelech Shlomo. Again, they blow trumpets, they proclaim Shlomo as the king. Ve'alisem acharav. Oh, this is again what David's telling them. Ve'alisem acharav uva ve'yashav al kisi v'hu yimloch tachtai. He'll come, he'll sit in my throne. He will rule after me. Ve'oso tzivisi lios nagid al Yisrael v'al Yehuda. And he's the one who's going to rule. Vayan benayahu ben Yehoyada es hamelech vayomer amen kein yomar Adonai Elohei Adoni hamelech. Benayahu says, this is right, this is good. Kashir haya Adonai im Adoni hamelech kein yihi im Shlomo. The same way God was with you, he should be with your son. Vayigadel es kiso mikisei Adoni hamelech David. And that Shlomo's melech should be even greater than your throne. Knows he should have even more success. And again, this is exactly what happens. Vayirat Tzadok haKohen v'Nasan haNaviyu v'Nayahu ben Yehoyada v'haKreisi v'haPleisi, the archers. Vayarkivu es Shlomo al Pirdas haMelech David v'Yolicho oso al Gichon. Again, they parade him on the mule. Vayikach Tzadok haKohen es Keren haShemen mina Ohel. He takes the oil from the Ohel. Again, different commentaries. The Ohel wasn't in Yerushalayim at the time. Did he go? He brought it. Whatever the case might be. Vayimshach es Shlomo. He anoints Shlomo. The Radak points out this did not need to happen. That if you're coronating the son of a king, you don't need this whole process. Why did David instruct it? This is showmanship. This is pomp and circumstance. Correct. 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 Right? Right? So now everyone hears this whole balagan and they start coming after him. They start, there's like a party going on. And everyone's very happy. And like there was such a festive nature to it, so the ground is shaking. Now, again, Radak points out that is not exactly what, that's an exaggeration. It means that there was such a happiness, there was so much singing and dancing and shofar blowing and whatever, that there was like a thunderous noise, as you would say. Vayishma Adoniyahu v'chol ha'kru'im asher ito v'heim kilu le'chol. So they're finishing up their barbecue and they hear all this tumult. And vayishma Yoav et kol ha'shovar v'yomar madua kol ha'kiryah. Like, what is going on over there? Yonatan ben Eviatar koim ba. As they're talking, Yonatan comes. Vayomer Adoniyahu bo ki ish chayelata v'tov tivaser. Knows you're a good person. Clearly, you're coming to bring good news with you. Vayan Yonatan vayomer la Adoniyahu aval Adoneinu haMelech Davidim leichet Shlomo. You're like, yeah, I have good news, but it's not the type that you want to hear. That this whole balagan is because Shlomo is now king. Vayishlach oto ito amelech et tzadok hakohen v'esnasan anavi v'nayahu ben Yehoyada v'ichreisi v'pleisi v'yikivu oso al perdas amelech. Again, just recounting the whole story. V'imshach oso tzadok hakohen v'nasan anavi l'melech b'chichon v'yalu misham smechim v'tehom hakiryav hu akol asher shamatim. That's what you're hearing. You're hearing the party. V'gam yashav Shlomo al kisei amlucha. V'gam ba'u avdei ha-melech levarech es Adoneinu ha-melech David le'mor yitav Elohim es Shem Shlomo mishmecha mishimcha mishmecha v'yigadel es kiso mikisecha v'yishtachu ha-melech al mishkav. Right? Not only did they do it, but David ha-melech is along with the ride. He likes this. V'gam kacha amar ha-melech baruch ha-nai Elohei Yisrael asher nasan ayom yoshev al kiso. David says, what a great day. Not only did my son take over me, but I actually got to see it. Vayecherdu. Adoniyahu starts shaking, trembling. Vayakumu kol akruim asher la Adoniyahu vayelchu ish ladarko. You know how loyal his they run for the hills. They are out of there. Hey, do I know that guy? I don't know that guy. Right? V'Adoniyahu yared mibnei Shlomo, and Adoniyahu is also afraid. V'yakam v'yelech v'yachazek b'karnos ha-mizbeach. He grabs on to the corners of the mizbeach. What mizbeach? This is again a dispute amongst the Mefarshim. Why does he grab on to the mizbeach? It's either for sanctuary, because Bechashvu says the Mitzudas David, Shelo yichalel amakom lahar gosham, who would desecrate such a holy place by killing a person there? Rashi actually quotes a different approach, that that it says harogi haruge beisdin nikvarim bekivre beisdin, right? That whatever, he wanted to be killed with, he wanted to be killed with the haruge beisdin, and that would be at the mizbeach. But most likely, again, the interpretation is that he was trying to achieve a sense of sanctuary. Vayugad lishlomo lemor hinei Adonayahu yareas hamelech shlomo v'hinei achaz bekarnos hamizbeach lemor yishavak li chayom hamelech shlomo im yamis es avdo becharib. Right? They tell Shlomo that Adonayahu is petrified, basically, and that he's holding on to the mizbeach. Vayomer Shlomo im yeh leven chayil lo yipo misaraso arza. If he's going to be good, if he's going to behave himself, if he's going to be a faithful servant, don't even touch a hair. V'imra'a, but if he has nefarious intentions, if he's going to cause trouble, timatzei bo vamid, find him and kill him. V'yishlach ha-melech Shlomo v'yoridu hu me'al ha-mizbeach. So Shlomo ha-melech finds him, he takes him off of the, walks him off the ledge, so to speak. Vayavo vayishtachu lamelech Shlomo. Adonayahu bows down to Shlomo vayomer lo Shlomo leich leveisecha. Shlomo says, get out of here. Right? Go home. That is the end of our first chapter. Now, the story is not over yet, but we're going to end right here for a second. And let's try to piece together some of what we saw this morning. We started off again with David HaMelech being very cold. According to Rashi, he's cold because of some sin that he committed, which we haven't yet figured out why that's important. We then transition from a very weak David to this whole slew of events of Adonijah trying to usurp the throne, of David HaMelech ultimately reaffirming that Shlomo is going to be the king, and ultimately of Shlomo being coronated as the king. Let's refresh some of the questions that we had asked. Number one, why so many details about Avishag? Why a nationwide search? Why was that important? Couldn't they have found a better way to have warmed up David? Why is that part so important to what happens in the rest? Why bring up David's past transgressions, right? Why does Adonijah try this during David HaMelech's lifetime? Right, if you think about it, wouldn't it have been easier to have done it after David had died? And then there was a total vacuum of power? And then he really could have swooped in? Okay? And lastly, again, just linger in the back of your mind, things that bothered me is who's the center here? Who's the focus of this chapter? Is it David? Is it Shlomo? Right? Is it the achievements of a past leader? Is this about succession? Like, what exactly is going on here? So I want to offer you four suggestions to try to make sense of everything that takes place in our chapter. Number one is, I'd say, the simplest and pieces together the least, but I think it's interesting nonetheless. And that is the Malbim. The Malbim suggests, what is the connection? Again, because that's the million-dollar question, is what's the connection between the first four psukim and the rest of the chapter? Malbim says it's very simple. What did Adonijah want? We assume the melucha, right? But Adonijah was what? Correct. We're not up to that yet. But yes, in the next chapters, that's all he's going to ask for. He's going to say, take everything. I just want Avishag. Adonijah wanted Avishag. Right? The Malbim writes, he says, now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you the secret to all of this. Kisof ma'aseu ma'ashe ba'adonijah el aim. Shlomo levakesha tinatein lo Avishag leisha. That which in the next chapter, which we're going to see next week, Adonijah comes and he asks for Avishag. He tegale lanu. That reveals to us ki chashak ba meod, ki cheshek ba meod, that he wanted the girl. Ad shemaser es nafsho bavura levaksha me Shlomo shano. Right, that was the whole point of this. The whole point of this, right? Why does he ask for Avishag? Because he wanted her, right? Why is it critical that David lo yada. Again, this is not about her and David. This is about Adonio and David. Lastly, right? Who can use a king's servant? Who has access to a king's servant? Another king. The only way to get the girl is by becoming the king. So that's the Malbim. Malbim says the connection between what happens at the beginning and the rest of the Perek is all about the girl. That's, again, I'd say it's interesting. Definitely adds a level of, right, if we're intrigue, political intrigue to the story, but it leaves a lot to be desired. Number two, that the whole point of the first four psukim is to paint a picture of a very weak David to help us understand why Adoniyahu ultimately comes now to try to be king, right? It's all about a contrast, right? Why is the national search important here? It's not. The only reason the national search is important is to let the entire people know that David is weak. Right, the only reason you would have a national search is to project an image of weakness to the masses, so that when Adoniyahu, remember how does it describe Adoniyahu? Handsome, not in the sense that he had olive skin and no, handsome in the sense that he was strong as opposed to weak David. Right? How is Avishag described? Very beautiful. We don't care what her beauty is. The Torah is not, why? All of that is, again, in contrast to David, who is Zakein. David, who is so infirm, he's so weak that he can't even warm himself up. So in other words, the strength of Adoniyahu, the beauty of Avishag, is all in contrast to the weakness and to the infirm nature of David HaMelech, right? Why? It all sends a message that the king is dying. Now again, why is that important? Because again, the people start getting nervous. The people like kings. They like having a sense of authority. They like knowing that things are going to be in order. So once you send the message that the king's lost a little bit, he can't even warm himself up. They had to bring in a girl to warm, which sounds so ludicrous. But that's the point. Remember we asked, you skipped from his parka didn't work to all of a sudden, bring in some girl. The answer is that, yeah, it's so ludicrous because, again, we want to show the country that, things are really bad. It's not just he doesn't have a cold. David HaMelech he's really lost it. So that's option number two. Option number two is that the whole first part of the Perek is simply to lay the groundwork and explain why now does Adoniyahu swoop in and try to usurp the throne. And again, it's all part of a plot. Again, who are the Avadav? Remember I said that's like $1 million. Avadav doesn't automatically mean loyal people. According to this interpretation, the Avadav are not loyal at all. They're actually part of Adoniyahu's plan to create this image of David as very weak. So again, it fits beautifully, I think. That's number two. Number three. All works off of the premise of why are we conjuring up images of David HaMelech's past? Right? Think about who appears in this parak. So Rashi right off the bat draws us to do two of David's sins. What is Bathsheba? What is she so nervous about? Remember she says we're going to be called Chataim. She's nervous. The Radak on Pasuk Yud Gimel tells, right, Nishbat la Masecha, so she writes, Why did David HaMelech need a promise that Shlomo was going to be the king? So again, the Radak writes, where am I? Right, V'lama Nishbala, why did David need to promise Bathsheba? Amru ki kesha meis hayeled. Amra Bathsheba hayeled meis mibnei ha'avon. They're going to assume, right, that child died because of the sin. Afilu yeli mimcha ben. Right, again, that's the other child, not Shlomo. And they're going to say that even if I were to have another child that lived, Yavozu Oso Echav, everyone's going to make fun of him. Everyone is going to mock him. Yavozu, it's going to be bizarre. They're going to desecrate him, so to speak. Mimnei shabati elecha ba'avon mitchila v'lo ratzta lizdakeklo. They're going to say, oh, that child, he's the child of a sin. He can't be anything important. The malucha, the throne, can't go through him. Ad shenishbala ki ha-ben yeh lo mimenu. And that's why David HaMelech needs to come and make the promise and publicly proclaim Shlomo as the king. So again, why are the sins so important here? The answer is that all of David HaMelech's life, and therefore by extension, Shlomo HaMelech's life, is about showing that despite a chartered past, Shlomo is suitable to be a leader. In other words, why do we bring up David's past discretions? To show that despite the fact that David HaMelech made some mistakes, he nonetheless was able to be king and remain king. So don't think that Shlomo HaMelech is being disqualified because of the sins of his mother and his father. Don't think any of that. None of that should be there to disqualify Shlomo. And again, there are many, many links between the story of David and Bathsheba. For example, these are the only two stories where Nathan, Bathsheba, and David appear in the text by the sin and also by here, right? Bathsheba, again, remember we saw that scene where Bathsheba comes into the room and she sees Avishag with David. And again, the contrast is so striking between old David, which was vibrant, and new David, which has this beautiful woman sitting in the room, and she's there for mere practical purposes. There's nothing else going on. So again, it's to contrast the two scenes. And again, because Bathsheba was afraid that David would be ridiculed. And so as the counter to that, we have an entire scene, so to speak, which brings up David HaMelech's sins to remind us that despite the fact that David HaMelech sinned, he was nonetheless remaining king. So too, don't disqualify Shlomo HaMelech, that whether it's 2 years down the line or 1,000 years down the line, if anyone tries to disqualify Shlomo, they cut it off right off the bat. Okay? So it's about the power of tshuva. It's to get rid of any tainas. It's to get rid of any claims against Shlomo HaMelech. That's option number three for how to understand this entire parak. Option number four is a suggestion from Rav Moshe Lichtenstein. And I'm going to paraphrase it in my own terms a little bit. Okay? How would you characterize David HaMelech as a person? Based on what you know just peripherally about him, how would you characterize him?
Warrior.
Strong. Right? David HaMelech was he did battle. He was a king. A king needs to do battle. What do we know about David HaMelech's sins? So again, when you talk about sexual misconduct, right? So again, you think of someone with strength, someone who is, right? Bravado. Okay? Anyone have any other definitions for David HaMelech?
He loved Hashem.
That's right. There's another side of David HaMelech. Read Tehillim, and you get a very different picture of David HaMelech. He's a poet, right? David HaMelech is soft. He's sensitive, right? When you picture George Washington, so you don't picture George Washington as sitting with his harp, writing poetry, right? That's not how you picture, right? David HaMelech is a person of contradiction. On the one hand, he is a king. King, by definition, needs to have strength, needs to have that bravado, needs to have that military prowess. And we know that David HaMelech had all of that. On the other hand, David HaMelech also was sweet and sensitive and kind and a poet. And he played the harp. Let's just hold it until afterwards, right? Which side of David HaMelech was more important? Well, they're both important. But for us, religious Jews, for Hashem, which was more important?
Tehillim,
right? In other words, one was almost like a means and one was the end. Of course, a king needs to project and a king needs to be strong, right? That all is practical. But if you asked Hashem, I'll put it this way. Which one, if you don't have, are you disqualified off the bat? Of course, if you don't have the fear of God, if you don't have that relationship with Hashem, so off the bat, you're out of the picture. So, while David HaMelech has both, he never lost sight of the importance of that relationship with Hashem, of the importance of his job as the poet, okay? Of his job as a representative of holiness. Now let's go to David HaMelech's potential two successors. What do we learn about Adoniyahu in this chapter? Well, he's arrogant, but what are the descriptions the Torah tells us? He's strong, right? Adoniyahu, how does he coronate himself? What's the process? Any mention of Hashem? No. What? How does he create an image of power? What does he do? Remember, what is the very first thing he does? He puts a chariot with a whole entourage, right? That's not about, what is that about? That's about creating an image, a persona of strength, a bravado, okay? What do we know about Shlomo HaMelech? Not much, right? Shlomo HaMelech is very passive here, by the way, in this chapter. Okay, he's very passive. He does nothing for himself to connote strength. What's the only thing? At the end he does. Well, he's forgiving at the end. But what is the only thing that happens to him? His mother is his advocate. We know that the Navi is present, right? Natana Navi is present. And how do they coronate him? Is it just about pomp and circumstance? No. What do? Vayim Shachoto, right? They put the oil from the Ohel, which is a religious experience. Whereas Adoniyahu tried to connote power through military strength, Shlomo HaMelech does so through a sense of holiness, sense of respect for the Ohel. It's the mention of the Ohel. Doesn't matter. That's connected to him. That's connected to him. Okay? And so perhaps what is at debated, what's at discussion for here in this first chapter, as we transition from David who had both, is what's really the role of the king here? Right? What better way to open up, say for Malachim, a book about kings, than a discussion about what is the role of a king? Is the role of a king about the office of a king, about the might of a king, about the power of the king? Or is it about the personal status of a king? In other words, a king needs to be holy. A king needs to have an innate personal sense of holiness to him. Right? So once David is old, David HaMelech is weak, and Adoniyahu thinks, now I have the perfect opportunity to express my strength. But what Adoniyahu misses out on is that there's a second part, that David HaMelech hasn't lost. Right? David HaMelech doesn't lose his sense of holiness. And that's what he passes on to Shlomo. That's what allows him to pass on to Shlomo HaMelech. By the way, we have this with other figures in Tanakh as well. Think about Avram. Right? Think about Avram. In this week's Parsha, how would you characterize Avram Avinu? So you could make both arguments. Avram Avinu, on the one hand, we think of him as a holy figure. What does Avram do in this week's Parsha, though? He's a warrior. He does battle when the battle needs to be done. Who are Avram's two children? Yitzchak and Yishmael. Right? Yishmael is described as Para Adam. He's strong. Right? Yitzchak. You picture him as quiet, as humble, right? Yaakov and Esav, very similar conversation. In other words, this tension between, you have one leader that kind of contains both attributes, passing it on to a child who basically only really has one. And the question is, which of those attributes is going to be more important? Do you choose that sense of strength, or do you choose that sense of holiness and morality? Okay? What? Well, of course you can choose both, but the difference that's depicted here is a very striking depiction. So again, we have the opening chapter to Sefer Malachim, and essentially four different interpretations for how to piece together the whole chapter. You have the Malbim's approach, that the beginning is because Adoniyahu covets the girl, and that kind of is the impetus to what he tries to accomplish at the end of the chapter. You have suggestion number two, that the whole beginning was a ruse to try to project an image of weakness by David to explain how Adoniyahu planned on usurping the throne. Number three is that it's all about David HaMelech's sin, to kind of cut the legs out from anyone who argued that Shlomo HaMelech wasn't worthy of being the king. And therefore, it's a lot about tshuva here. It's a lot about David's checkered past. And number three is that we begin Sefer Malachim with a discussion of what the role of a melech is, what the role of a leader is. David HaMelech had both. Which one's more important? Adoniyahu projects his image as a warrior.
Shlomo projects that sense of holiness, that sense of morality. And of course, we know that by the end of chapter 1, who gets chosen? Of course, it's Shlomo HaMelech. In next week's chapter, we will continue this very interesting story.